This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
And there are days where I feel dangerously close to checking all of those boxes. Glad to have you with us here. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation this week. Happy to welcome back into the show on the West Hur Hotline, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com and co-host of the Shout podcast. He is Matt Perino. Matt, happy off season to you. That doesn't sound right. How you doing, man?
I am wonderful, and, you know, it's funny for reporters, right? Like, we get to this part of the year, and, of course, I would have loved to have covered a Super Bowl, but it's kind of a nice little downshift for at least a couple of weeks before the combine. But then you turn around, and we kick start it right back up.
Well, I want to start here with you at the end. The game, the Super Bowl, was just 2 weeks ago. We know what happened in the Bills and the Chiefs in the championship game, and obviously we know what happened in the Super Bowl. We've talked enough over the years. Maybe this won't surprise you, Matt. Like, while the morning show has the wide receiver train, and that's a trademark that I would never infringe on, I've been, you know, riding as a passenger on that. Mostly my approach, and even, again, after the Bills lost to the Chiefs for a fourth time in the playoffs, I've got Josh Allen. He's got the ball in his hands, 2 minutes-ish to go. I like my chances. And last year and this year, it hasn't happened. And that sort of train of thought absolves Sean McDermott's defense, I think, from, I don't know about any responsibility, but most of the responsibility, because I'm blaming the offense. I need to outscore you. Watching the Eagles do what they did to the Chiefs sort of turned me around there. How about you? What impact, if any, does the Super Bowl going the way it went have on your offseason outlook for the Bills?
For me, it's like all eyes on Brandon Bean. Like, you have to be Howie Roseman-esque perfect to build the kind of roster that's going to beat the Chiefs. And I think what gets lost in the mix is, hey, he's taken a couple big swings at and paid a lot of money at specific spots, but he's really hit on his defensive line in the draft. I mean, if you look across that line, you know, a lot of those guys were risky picks. I mean, Jalen Carter, to me, is the piece de la resistance of that entire operation, because you read a deep dive. ESPN did a deep dive on that pick shortly after they made it. And if you remember that draft, people were crushing them for it because he was such a character risk,
right?
And something that if you go that direction, you better believe in all of the back checks on that. And what they've got ever since then is a guy that has followed through on his promise of being an upstanding citizen, all those kinds of things. But you got to take a risk on those kind of guys. And if you look across the draft for the Bills, they really prioritize character. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I do think building the culture, that has to be a part of this thing. But I take last year as a perfect example of an opportunity to maybe bring in somebody that wasn't checking that character box by a lot of teams. That was T'Vondre Sweat. And you think about him, what that could have done for the defensive line. If Sweat now becomes the starter next to Ed Oliver, you put Daquan Jones in the DT3 spot, and now that kind of unlocks things so much more for everybody else. They also have Jordan Davis in Philadelphia that I think helps. But you got to build that line in the draft. Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, Jordan Davis, and Jalen Carter. I mean, all those guys are Howie Roseman draft picks. And if you put those side by side with Brandon Bean's draft picks on the defensive line, it's going to leave a lot to be desired. And so I think you look at defensive tackle in this draft, they have to hit on a couple of them. And lucky for them, it's a deep draft. I think you can go round two, round five, however you want to kind of spin it, and find two impact players next year. But here's the other part of it all. You have to be in lockstep with Sean McDermott, Marcus West, Bobby Babich, how you're going to not only develop them, but also involve them defensively in the scheme from day one. I think that's something that the Eagles have done really well on both sides of the ball.
Well, I'm really glad you led with the character concerns about Davis, because that's right. And I don't think you see – I mean, that's the kind of thing that if it comes true once a guy gets to the league, you can't keep up with all the column inches and talk shows talking about, how bad it's going. When it goes well, that stuff just sort of gets forgotten about. And it's an important lesson in that. Like, guys can get integrated into a strong culture and, you know, whatever concerns you may have had, you know, may become, you know, obviously not stumbling blocks, because it certainly seems to be going smoothly from out here anyways.
Yeah, and the other part of it, too, is like, Roseman's not perfect, like, draft-wise. Like, a couple of years ago, he reached on Jalen Reagor in the Jefferson draft. I mean, that's the kind of thing that gets GMs fired in this league. Now, luckily for him, he hit on the quarterback, and there's been other pieces to this. He went out and decided, okay, we missed on Jalen Reagor. We're going to pivot, and we're going to go make a trade for A.J. Brown, and he's going to be the guy that we pair with our young first-round wide receiver. And so there's just a lot of pieces that have to fit together here for Bean this offseason. Like, Coleman's got to take a step. They have to find a separator on the boundary. And then once you add that piece in, to me, that's the missing ingredient in a room that I think is really interesting and diverse from a skill set standpoint. And you have to kind of plan in there, okay, Dalton Kincaid, step on down. We need a third-year jump if you're Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. So I think the offense will start at a better place next year just because of the resources they can kind of push toward that. They're going to have James Cook maybe in a contract year. Maybe they end up rewarding him and give an extension. I know we're probably going to talk about that in a minute. That's been one of the most interesting offseason storylines to start things off here. But the offense is set up pretty nicely. I just think the defense, you really need to hit on some really important picks and additions, and you might lose a couple of key pieces here this offseason as well.
Talking with Bills beat reporter Matt Perino, co-host of the Shout podcast. He's on the Wester Hotline with me here on WGR. So you're talking about prioritizing picks to the defense. How about packaging two or three of those things, even kicking into next year for Myles Garrett? Are you a yes, no, cautionary? Like, how do you feel about any Bills potential pursuit of one of the greatest defensive players currently in the league?
Yeah, it's so tricky because honestly, like, as somebody that doesn't have a vested interest in this, like, you know, whether or not I don't watch these games from a fan's perspective anymore, so I don't operate in that headspace. But at the same time, I can understand why you'd want to go all in on this move, and it makes a lot of sense because it's different than the Von Miller pursuit, because he'll be Myles Garrett 3 to 4 years younger than when they got Von Miller in the building. So you're going to get some prime years, I still think, left. But the downside of a move like this is, okay, you go out and you trade for Myles Garrett, and now what happens if he gets injured in year one, similar to Von Miller, and you're stuck in the same situation paying top dollar for a pass rusher that's not available to you. So I think the Eagles' model of find guys in the draft that can be serviceable and then have big performances in big games, and I know that that's probably more rare than anything else, but the way they built it from the inside out, I think to me has got to be the model. So if you're building inside out, I don't know if necessarily the edge rusher is going to be the guy that you go out and try to bring in. But again, you're right. He's the greatest defensive player on the planet right now today. And if you add that player to your defense, how does that change the math for your secondary and who you're going to play at safety? Because I think that's what, honestly, Sean McDermott wants to do. He finds these diamonds in the rough in his in the back seven. Taron Johnson, fourth-round pick. Christian Benford, sixth-round pick. Damar Hamlin, sixth-round pick. I'm not saying they were all playing at an elite level, but you have serviceable players in the secondary, and then if you can find a real difference-maker up front, that turns those players into even better players than they are already. So I get the desire for it. I'm probably copping out with not giving a definitive should they or shouldn't they. I think they'd probably land at another route and try to really hit on the draft picks, because if you go out and get Garrett at age 30, it's a more win now move. And I do agree with Bean that you're never just one player away. You got to do multiple things to replenish the roster every single year. And there's needs elsewhere on this team. And I'm not just talking about for this year. You know, there's some guys that are going to be coming up on contracts on the offensive line coming up in two seasons. Those are going to be things that you're going to have to start considering. And if you start just doling out draft picks, you're not going to be able to replenish those other positions.
Yeah, the timing is very tough with where the Bills are financially to mortgage future assets, which, you know, even first-round picks are cheaper labor than what you're going to be paying for Myles Garrett at a premium. It's one of the reasons why, to me, Matt, and every time I say this, Mike, who's not here today, pushes back on it, like, why would Cleveland want that? Like, I need Gregory Rousseau to be a part of this if I'm going to pull it off. Like, if I can get the Browns interested in him, I feel like that keeps me from having to give up three premium assets. Maybe it's two. I'm about to have to pay him $22 to $25 million. I know it's a $10 million difference, but I think I'd rather pay Garrett the 35 and hope that he stays healthy, like you're alluding to. There's always going to be risk when you sign anyone, but I feel like I kind of need Rousseau to be a part of it. Otherwise, I might risk losing him for nothing, because I can't envision a scenario where they would make a trade like this for Garrett, pay him, and then also pay Rousseau a new contract.
No, that's a great point, and something where I almost wonder if the Bills don't look at it like you trade for Garrett to further unlock Rousseau in a way, right? Or maybe it's you trade for Garrett, to your point, to further unlock Ed Oliver. Because now if teams are scheming against Myles Garrett, pushing the double team to that side every single time, it'll matter less who's at the other spots. And then you go out and you really attack defensive tackle in the draft. The interesting thing about defensive tackle is, I wonder what they think about Dwayne Carter after year one.
I was going to ask you about him. Yeah,
that's to me the hiccup, because depending on who you talk to, there are a lot of film guys that weren't overly impressed with Carter even before the injury. Now, I thought he was playing better as the season went along. He was a very raw player coming out. I don't think he played at the level of competition at Duke that he saw in year one. So if you're not a believer in that, like, you might want to move off of that player now, because you just don't have the time to develop it, especially in a defensive tackle heavy draft. If you can recoup a fourth round pick for him and then go attack defensive tackle, find the three tech, find your one tech, make Daquan Jones the backup to that one tech. Now I think you're in business. If you go out and make a move for Garrett in that scenario, I like it. And then including Rousseau, to your point, makes a little bit more sense. I don't know, man. Whatever move Brandon Bean makes here, if it's kind of swing like this, man, is it going to have to work and really push them over the edge? And I wonder if they don't have a little bit of buyer's remorse working against the potential deal because of what happened with Miller.
I would understand if they do, but the right point, I think, is you've got a player that's 3 years younger at this point, and you I think would feel some security in at least getting a few prime years, maybe three prime years out of a guy like Garrett. The rest of it, you know, okay, I'm probably going to eat it, which is what you probably thought when they signed Miller to begin with, and of course that didn't even get you the 3 years.
And motivated beyond belief. I mean, the commentary that we've seen come from Myles Garrett, to me, is what I think would interest Bean the most. Like, you're getting Von Miller off of the Super Bowl parade, right? Like, he's living the high life. He got his second Super Bowl on his second team. Of course he wants to chase, but he's came in here like the mayor of Buffalo, right? Like, everything's happy, everything's exciting. Like, Myles Garrett has a clock ticking on this whole situation to try to go chase a Super Bowl. So I think that kind of energy from a guy that plays at the level that he plays at, to me, might be what pushes me over the edge to make the deal if you're Brandon Bean.
Matt Perino, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com, co-host of the Shout podcast here, my guest on the Wester Hotline. So you mentioned Cook, and we will get to that as a part of this. You've got not just Rousseau, but Benford and Shakir and Terrell Bernard and Cook all going through their third years, all eligible for extensions. I mean, holy cow, where do you start?
I know. It's really a tough offseason to kind of parse this all up and figure out where is the priority. I was talking to Derek Klassen, does a really good job. He's on the Athletic Football Show. I had him on my show maybe like 6 to 8 weeks ago, and he was actually one of the first people on the Bills offense. Like, he thought that they were the best team balance-wise in the league halfway point of the season. Does a really good job with them. And one of his big points was, when talking about the extension candidates, was Benford ranks lower for him because Sean McDermott does such a good job developing young defensive backs. And, you know, I kind of had a little bit of a pushback. Like, I think that if you look at the Levi Wallaces of the world and the Dane Jacksons of the world, like, not all 6th, 7th round picks are created equally. I mean, Christian Benford is playing at an all-pro level that we haven't seen since Tre'Davious White in 2019. And I think when you find that at this age, barring any significant injury, that's something that you want to reward. And I think you can get Benford coming off of a season where I think he only had one or two picks. I don't think you have to break the bank for him. So I do think Benford is at the top of the list. And then I think right under that, if you don't make a big time move, I think there's still room to reach a ceiling for Greg Rousseau that hasn't gone there yet. Like, if you remember back to draft time, this is a guy that barely played any college football. I mean, he had that one season that he missed a season for COVID. I think year in and year out, we're seeing a dramatic raise in the level of his game. And then I think this last season, I know the sack numbers weren't there, but in terms of affecting the quarterback, he's about as good as it gets. I mean, he's top 10 in the league in pressure rate. You'd like to see it a little bit more in the playoffs. But I think adding a big-time disruptor, whether it be in the middle or on the other side of him, Von Miller wasn't that anymore after the injury. And so I think you want to see that for a little bit of a sustained time. But you can play this out a little bit more on Rousseau. If I'm Brandon Bean, I'm like, you know what? Let's make him really prove it in a contract year, a prime year of Josh Allen where we want to go chase a Super Bowl. Let's see what he does in the playoffs. And then if we have to come to the table and pay the guy, then we will. Or maybe it'll be, we'll franchise tag you for a year and we'll figure out. Maybe then it's a trade conversation. I don't know. There's a lot of different options that you could take. I'm not in a rush on that end. And I think Bernard and I think Shakir will be more of the affordable stuff. But somebody threw out the idea of like a little more than the Samuel contract, like a 3 for 30, 32 for Shakir. I don't know. I'm thinking long and hard about that because he's a great player. I think he's really important to what he gives Josh Allen as a safety blanket. But that's a lot to pay for what he does and the numbers that he's giving when you still haven't been able to unlock your first-round pick, who was kind of drafted to play the similar role, although they're different style players in Kincaid.
Yeah, I totally agree on Benford. And in fact, Matt, I would submit that the Bills not really having anything solidified on the other side of the field at corner, with Douglas being a free agent, and that's a spot I would like to try to improve on. I know that's going to cost money to do, but I felt like Douglas, after showing up, last year and all the picks to start off his Bills career really maybe lost a step. So I think I need to figure out something there. That place is so much more focused on Benford. I mean, I appreciate the point that your guest makes about being able to develop guys. You want to play to your strengths, and if you think your strength is that, you know, I understand that philosophically. But man, this defense without Benford on it right now, I can't even imagine. Like, he's got to be, to me, the top priority.
Yeah, and then my other point, too, which is agreeing with what you're saying, is, like, you want to find the next Benford to pair with Benford now. Like, you want to try to have two, like, high-end players at that spot on a defense that has struggled consistently with their defensive line. So I like the idea of going with Benford. And then you have the other problem that you got to tackle this offseason, what to do with Kyer Elam. I don't know how you go into next season and bring him back. I mean, this coaching staff has shown such a lack of belief in him. To have him inactive for half of the season tells you everything that you need to know. And I know the argument was like, oh, you know, we needed somebody on special teams. I get that. But to not be able to even get this guy to give you that ability and trust him in those kinds of situations speaks to the lack of versatility to his game.
Yeah.
And there's just no other places to fit him into the puzzle. And I think sometimes you just got to admit your losses with a player like this. I bring up Jalen Reagor from before. The Eagles, once they realized that, you know, this guy was not going to be it, they moved on. I mean, they were done with him before the start of year three. And he went on to play for four or five different – sometimes – players that you draft, they just don't work out. And I think the best teams and the best...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Programs admit when their mistakes were made and they move on and cut their loss.
Talk about a draft pick that has worked out. We saved the best for last. James Cook. Matt, it feels to me like he really rushed into scrubbing the Bills off of his social media. I feel like it was very early in the offseason for that. What do you make of the whole situation here? I can't fathom a scenario where the Bills get anywhere near the $15 million, but maybe there's a $10 million extension out there, $10 million a year out there. I don't know if that satisfies the player, but it looks like for all the peace the Bills have enjoyed, they haven't really had any of this. This could be a little bit noisy this offseason.
It could be. I think the scrubbing is more like the agent side of things these days than anything else, like the team around him. He was a couple days removed from glowing. I think it was on somebody's podcast. I don't remember who it was, but he was talking about his relationship with Josh Allen and, how the season ended and about the Super Bowl. And then if you remember, McDermott, in his season-ending press conference, went on like a two-minute kind of love fest of James Cook and what he meant to the team and his attitude on the sideline. Like, this is – I don't know if that was maybe going into protection mode to try to, get that out there. So, he knows, hey, we love you. We want you to stay. We want you to be happy. We appreciate you, all those kinds of things. He's important to what they do. The problem is – extending him couldn't be at a more difficult time in terms of the salary cap, but also what's available in this draft. This is a historically talented, deep running back class. So instead of extending James Cook, you could decide, hey, we're going to throw two darts at running back with our 10 to 11 picks that we're going to have in this draft. And depending on the Myles Garrett situation or Max Crosby or anything like that. And then you say, okay, we hope one of those two guys can develop into, a version of what James Cook was. And the other part of this too, on the higher end money part, this is still a guy that they don't play at a super high snap percentage clip.
Right.
So I don't know how you even approach the $15 million for a guy that, really hasn't had that kind of workload put on his body. And I don't know, even though he's added strength and size and everything like that, his running style is so impressive. But until you see it, I don't know how you pay for that. So I think that's what I'm telling him this offseason is, come in, we're going to put a little bit more on your plate, go out there and earn the contract. And then if you're the Bills, you can play both sides of that. Either you're all in on this and he helps lead you to a Super Bowl and you want to ink him to a deal, or let him leave for a big deal and then get the comp pick.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. And I mentioned how smoothly things have mostly gone. I know Jordan Poyer had his, that went around and around for a little bit a couple off seasons ago. But ultimately, he came back and realized what he hoped was out there wasn't out there. Cook has been so important to making that engine go here, that offense this year, that I wonder how it goes over with the team if they dig in on him. There's a lot of different things that I don't think we've really seen them have to deal with.
Yeah, but I don't think that they have to worry about that, because they did a really good job of establishing inside the culture now is that it's not going to be about any individuals. Everybody's going to eat. And the mantra, I think that plays a little bit more to this kind of situation too, is that, listen, we think that Ray Davis is ready to step up and take a larger role. When he was given the ball this year, I think there's a lot to like about what he offered and him maybe jumping up into a bigger role next season. And if you could bring Ty Johnson back, I think he's very high on their priority list. I don't think that they would bat an eye at looking at that kind of combination with another younger running back to start to develop on the other side of things. But it's difficult because I think James Cook is a big locker room guy. I mean, like,
right.
The way that people talk about him in that building, the way Josh Allen talks about him in that building, to your point, you want to take care of those guys. The problem is paying a running back $12, $13, $14 million when you're paying your quarterback $45, $50 right now and it's about to go up. That's a challenge.
Right. Everybody can laugh at the Giants ownership and Joe Shane from the Hard Knocks thing, but I'm not paying a running back $15 million to have a $40 million quarterback hand the ball to him. There's a lot of truth in that. I know how it went and what a joke it ends up looking like with Barkley going on to do what he did. But at its core, that's a philosophy I want to respect.
I will never stop saying this. I said it last year during Hard Knocks. I think Shane was right. I think having it play out like that in a cinematic way was never going to end well, because wherever Barkley was going to go, if he was able to prioritize winning somewhere, which he did going to the Eagles, of course it looked great. He wasn't going to have that kind of season or impact with the Giants. They don't have the offense. So I totally agree with you. Like, the move to not pay him that money made a lot of sense. And what did Mara want to do? Just sell jerseys? Like, what good is that? They're trying to rebuild the whole thing. So, you know, when you have – but here's the other side of it too. The Bills have the kind of team like the Eagles do where that piece is really important. And so do they view James Cook that way? We know that he tried to trade for McCaffrey a couple of seasons ago. Now if he feels like he has that version of the player on the roster in Cook, that could make him more willing to pay. It's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out.
Matt, we've kept you extra long. Appreciate our first visit of the offseason. I'll bet we'll catch up at some point closer to the draft.
Sounds great, buddy. Take care.
All right, there you go. Matt Parrino, Bills beat reporter, Syracuse.com, host of the Shout podcast, our guest here on the West Hur Hotline. What say you? $15 million for a running back? And we talked about it a lot last week. We covered a lot with Matt. We'll get into more of that with you after this at 803-0550. I am the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR.
Trying to let the leaders race back. Here they come.
Phil Green, it's
off
turn.
It
could be a two-time winner here. William Byron.
Byron, Nemechek, Reddick. Off turn four and to the flag. Checker is waving, and William Byron has won the 500 for the second year in a row.
That's the end of a marathon telecast for the Fox NASCAR crew. Mike Joy, Kevin Harvick and Clint Bowyer in the booth, Chris Myers and Jamie McMurray at another desk, Larry McReynolds in and out, and holy cow, these guys sign up for a race that's supposed to start at 2 o'clock or thereabouts and end up being on the TV talking about it until close to 10 o'clock at night. Dave Buchanan joins us now on the West Hur Hotline, and I guess since we had that highlight play, we can start with the race briefly before we get to a recap of the weekend that was for the Bandits. Dave Buchanan, longtime motorsports host here at the station and still very prominent on the local track scene, is our resident gearhead and also, of course, lacrosse insider. Do you like that? Lacrosse insider, Bukes? What are we doing here?
It's got a nice ring to it, PD.
All right. Did the overtime green-white checker thing come out of the fact that there were always wrecks at the end of these races? Because it feels to me like any time I'm dipping into one of these races near the end, I'm getting a green-white checker scene, and there's multiple wrecks in the last, like, 20, 10, 5 laps of these races. Has it changed over the years, or am I just not watching often enough to have an opinion that's correct?
Yeah, it's something that NASCAR has incorporated in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I mean, if you remember when Dale Earnhardt Sr. won his Daytona 500 in 1998, he won it under the caution flag because there was a wreck on the last lap. So NASCAR instituted this rule. But, I mean, the whole thing, super speedway racing has just become one giant crapshoot. They rode around for 450 miles. And then they got down to the end, and it turns into a block fest, and you got what you got. It is what it is. It's a product of the sport right now, and it's kind of disheartening. I wish it was a better race. It's still a great everything that goes along Daytona 500 and the interest it gets from people is great, but the actual on-track product the last few years is really kind of disheartening for me.
Are drivers more reckless at the end of these things than they used to be, or like, because it just seems like there's just more of it at the end of these big races than I remember?
These guys, the drivers have changed over the years. The cars have become much more safer. You know, these guys, right. Yeah, they're more apt to throw caution to the wind because, and it's just the style of driving that has developed in top level motorsports since the start of this century, basically. The way to win right now on Super Speedway is to get out in front and then block your ass off until right. The checkered flag waves, and just try not to get taken out from behind.
Well, maybe you can help me here, and I should have texted you this sooner, because you mentioned Bubba Wallace, and I did find him eventually at FanDuel at a really nice price. So I invested, never wager more than you can afford to lose. I mean, nothing crazy, but and I watched. It was funny, Dave. I had the golf on, and my split screen was the race, and mm-hmm. The golf started at, I think, 3 o'clock on CBS. And I every time I flipped over to the race, there was poor Chris Myers sitting there talking to some driver in a race suit and a baseball cap. I'm like, holy cow, the delay is still going. They finally got going. So I watched a lot of it and watched a lot of the race, actually, once it finally got going around 6:30. And I had to walk out of the room with Bubba Wallace battling for the lead with about 50 laps to go, and I missed a bunch. By the time I got back, he was in the teens. Did he just not have the car, or did something happen to him that explains where he ended up? I know he got caught up in the wrecks at the end too.
Yeah, he didn't get a lot of damage. I believe he finished the race, but he got enough damage where I think it hampered the aerodynamics of the car. But hey, I want to pat myself on the back. I gave you three names: Joey Logano, Bubba Wallace, and William Byron. Bubba and right. Bubba and Joey led laps, and Byron won the thing. So,
right, good job.
Not really. It's like picking names out of a half for Daytona. But Bubba looked good as expected. Joey is the best at it, but he got run into thanks to Ricky Stenhouse, and then you had Cole Custer cause the other two big wrecks of the day. It was Daytona. I will say, the voice of Chris Myers, you're either sitting through a NASCAR rain delay or a late season NFC game between two teams out of playoff contention.
Right. That is where you're at. Those guys, hat tip to those dudes. I mean, they show up to broadcast that race. And I know they have to know that it can end up going that way, but holy cow, that's a long day at the office. Dave Buchanan on the Western Hotline, recapping Daytona with us. Also, the Bandits. Dave was between the benches on Saturday night for a home overtime loss. Big comeback win on Friday night. I saw a good chunk of the front end of that game, Dave, and really good job by the Bandits to come back. Tell us what happened, I guess more importantly, on Saturday with the first blemish on the perfect record of the season so far for the Bandits.
Yeah, it started very similar to the Friday night game against Toronto. They got down 4-0, and I think combined with the back-to-back, on top of them having to play from behind for so long in that game against a team like San Diego, who was really pushing an up-tempo game, I think it kind of caught up to them by the end of the game. I'm not saying they were poorly conditioned. It wasn't that. But I just think, San Diego kind of took advantage of the conditions a little bit. And, I mean, that overtime could have went either way. It went 5 minutes. And each team had their chances, although San Diego's chances were a little bit better. I just think San Diego just was able to outrun them to the end there, and then they had a nice play to score on the game winner by Westberg.
It was the first set of back-to-backs of the year, right?
Yeah, they hadn't played a back-to-back since the finals last year, and they hadn't played a regular season back-to-back since, like, 2023.
Yeah, so, it would make sense. You could be in great shape, but you're still being tested in a way you haven't been tested yet this year, so that it could have taken more out of you. Friday, I was so impressed they came back and ultimately won that game with the way it set. That was 5-0 down, I think, if I remember right. I was watching. Do you know much about what happened at the end? Because I thought I saw some video of the GM putting his hands on somebody and stuff got a little sideways there. The Toronto GM, I should say.
Yeah, things did get a little out of hand. The two Toronto assistant coaches, Bruce Codd and Rusty Krueger, who used to work for the Bandits, got into a shouting match with Bandits general manager and defensive coordinator Steve Dietrich, and Rusty Krueger did have his hands on Steve Dietrich in the heat of the moment, on top of the players themselves arguing and shoving and pushing between the benches. And it all started with a couple Toronto players coming over to the Buffalo bench after the game. And it just, you know, tempers already flared with how that game ended. You know, the Toronto players took exception to a late hit by Paul Dawson as the game ended. So it's just part of the rivalry. And we'll see if there's any other penalties from the league later in the week. I don't expect much, but it was definitely a great game by the Bandits coming from behind. They were definitely off in the first quarter, but I think the Bandits, the reason why they won is while Toronto did a good job of holding Dean Smith and Josh Byrne in check for the first three quarters of the game, it allowed guys like Chris Cloutier, Kyle Buchanan, and Chase Frazier to pick up the slack, and that secondary scoring is really what allowed Buffalo to come from behind and eventually win that game.
And so up next for them is a return meeting with this same San Diego team, right? They're out in San Diego this weekend?
Yep, this Saturday at 10 o'clock, the second half of back-to-back should be a spirited affair. I mean, there was a lot of pushing and shoving, and things got heated in that game. So it'll be fun to see how that plays out this Saturday in San Diego. And they follow that up with a meeting with the Saskatchewan Rush, who are the only team in the league that has more wins than Buffalo right now. They're 8-2. So very big next two games coming up for the Bandits.
All right, Dave, thank you very much for this. I'm going to say this now, and I'm hold myself to it. This won't be the last time we talk to you. I said this last year when they were getting close to winning. I was going to be out of town for the championship, so I missed it. But I want to make the best effort I can to make sure we are talking about this team, because they're excellent. And
Have you made it to a game yet?
No, that is I'm looking at the schedule right now, and I either got to go. I think this Calgary game, the next home game on the 8th, on the radar for me, or then after that, maybe the last one against Halifax, because I'm out of town for a chunk there late March. But I am going to get there. I said I would, and I will.
I look forward to it. Paul Hamilton went to his first Bandits game recently, so now it's your turn.
All right. Well, I will talk to Paul in about 20 minutes, and I will get the lowdown on all that. Bukes, thanks a lot for this. Really appreciate your availability.
I always love talking to you, Bulldog. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Dave Buchanan is between the benches on the Bandits broadcast for the home games here, and our resident motor racing aficionado as well. You hear his voice numerous local tracks doing track announcing once we get into race season. All right. We'll hit a timeout. As I mentioned, Paul Hamilton will get back into this Four Nations face-off and all the excitement from Saturday night. Hopefully we get a repeat on Thursday between the U.S. and Canada in the championship game of that tournament. We'll talk to Paul about that. And, of course, the Sabres ramping back up here. They'll start practicing tomorrow and play at home on Saturday against the Rangers. So a lot to get to with Paul coming up in about 15 minutes or so. 803-0550. Is the number. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away this week. This is WGR. All right, time is tight here because I don't know how clocks work, apparently. Paul Hamilton is coming up just after the top of the hour update. And Paul, long form Paul. Paul will be with me for the balance of an hour or more. So you got questions about anything pertaining to the Sabres, the upcoming trade deadline, the Four Nations face-off. Please have at it. Feel free to join in on the conversation, as Paul is going to be with me from 5 until about 6:25 or so. One thing I failed to get to while Dave Buchanan was kind enough to join us and recap the weekend that was for the Bandits, splitting, losing in Toronto, in Mississauga, splitting hairs, winning on Friday night up in Toronto, and then losing at home against San Diego, also recapping Daytona for us. I noticed on Saturday or maybe Sunday morning, Dave's Twitter feed mentioned a couple of Daytona drivers not in the Daytona 500, but that were participating in other series, the ARCA series and the Xfinity series. These are guys he mentioned, I think, on Friday when he previewed the weekend with us, and some very good finishes for Andy Jankowiak, who finished eighth in the ARCA race, and Patrick Emmerling got his first career top 10 in the Xfinity series, finishing 10th. That from Dave and his Twitter feed. I neglected to get to it with Dave while he was on the line with us, but I wanted to mention that. Those are names that certainly are going to be familiar to local race fans. So good job by those guys finishing as they did in their races heading into the big one on Sunday, which they ultimately did finally get in after a four-hour rain delay. Turns out they should have just pushed the race back, not forward. That was the plan going into the weekend, right? They wanted to start early because of weather, and the weather came earlier than expected, and they had to wait until about 6:25 or so to resume it. They did start it at the appointed time, but barely got 10 laps in before they had to shut it down and wait until 6:30 or so to get it up and running. So anyway. So I wanted to mention that. We'll take a timeout here. Paul Hamilton straight ahead with me. Mike Schoep is away this week along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.